Track 6. This is Brian Gall back at the desk to bring you the latest sports news about our local teams and a bit more besides. So here goes with the local news to start. As far as Stourbridge Football Club, the Glass Boys, are concerned, after me saying last time that they'd been absent for weeks thanks to a series of away fixtures, in the last few days they seem to have been in action here at the Memorial Ground in the town just about every other day. At this time of year, with the end of the season looming, previously postponed matches pile up and have to be crowded into the schedule somehow. This burst of activity began with the home draw, 1-1, against the league leaders Altrincham on Monday last week that I reported last time. There should have been a home fixture against Stafford Rangers in the league last Thursday, but that in turn was put off. Then on Saturday, Stalybridge visited and Glass Boys recorded one of their most clear-cut results of the season, winning 4-1. On Monday, it was the turn of Workington to call, and it was a big disappointment following Saturday's easy win that this time the Glass Boys lost by 3-2. I've not yet been able to find a report of what went wrong in this match. All of this was leading up to a match this evening, Wednesday, in the semi-final of the Birmingham Senior Cup against a West Bromwich Albion 11. I read their manager, Gary Hackett, reported in the Stourbridge News last week as saying he regarded this cup tie and a chance to reach the final of the competition as the remaining highlight of the season for Stourbridge. But whether his team will have any energy left to fight for a place in the final must be a question. Their league campaign this season has been a disappointment after their tussle in the promotion playoffs last year, perhaps due to a certain of their players from that quite successful team being tempted away to play soccer at a higher level, and this year's squad, containing a few new faces, has not quite gelled. I will tell you how they got on in their cup semi-final against the Baggies on next week's news, but let's hope I don't have to tell you about another home defeat. But surely the big soccer news in this part of the world this past week has been Wolves' triumph in securing promotion back to the Premier League for next season. Wolves made sure of promotion by beating Birmingham City 2-0 on Sunday, while Fulham, currently third place in the league, could do no better than draw their match. That meant Wolves can finish no worse than second in the league by the end of the season, and the top two go up. In fact, with three league matches left this season, Wolves need to only draw one of them to be sure of finishing in first place. Surely something they'll easily manage. It's well deserved. They've been the outstanding team in the Championship all season, and their vibrant attacking style should ensure that they make their mark among the Premier League elite next season. But that victory at the expense of Birmingham City did the latter's prospect of remaining in the Championship next season no good at all. The bottom three will be relegated at the end of the season, and Blues are currently fourth from bottom. They're 2 points ahead of the next team below, Barnsley, who have a game in hand. It's nerve-wracking for Blues fans. And I'm also concerned about Walsall, another nearby team currently at the wrong end of League One. They had a golden opportunity to more or less make sure of safety for another season when they played one of the relegation strugglers, MK Dons, at home last Saturday. They managed to lose that game 3-2, giving away a penalty in the 6th minute of injury time, which led to the winning goal for the Dons. Like Birmingham City, Walsall now find themselves on the brink with only 3 games left. Now for the local rugby, and across town at Stourton Park, although the rugby team have no league honours left to play for this season, Stourbridge Rugby put on a show on Saturday to warm the hearts of their faithful followers. This was a battle between 4th-placed Stourbridge against 3rd-placed Tynedale, and it went quite literally to the wire, as Stourbridge won by 35 points to 34 thanks to the last kick of the game. Tynedale seemed to me to be a bit of an enigma. Their three-quarter line and their half-backs are slick and quick, they have elusive runners with an eye for an opening, and they certainly opened up Stourbridge's defence several times in this match. Yet their pack of forwards seemed to come from a different planet. At each scrum, they found themselves marching steadily backwards, and a penalty to Stourbridge resulted nearly every time. Indeed, that became the home side's chief tactic of the afternoon, as they rucked and scrummaged their way upfield to an almost inevitable score. The question was, would the home side's forward power and success with these tactics be enough to overcome the visitors' pace and vision? As you can tell from the final score, they were just. But it took the award of yet another penalty for a ruck infringement by the visitors, in a kickable position for Stourbridge, but not exactly a gimme, in the 2nd minute of injury time. 10 minutes earlier, Starbridge had led by 32 points to 22 and looked on course for victory. But as so often during the afternoon, Tyndale's pace and engineering of openings brought the visitors 12 more points, but crucially, they missed the relatively easy conversion of one of those scores. Yet again, Starbridge, 2 points behind now, began the long march upfield. Ruck, secure the ball, short pass, another couple of yards gain. Time after time until the ref's whistle blew and that final penalty was awarded just outside the 22. Safely slotted over, immediately followed by the final whistle. Joy unconfined for the home side, chagrin for the visitors. 11 tries scored altogether. Great entertainment. Turning to the local speedway news, the Wolverhampton Wolves finally got their 2018 season underway on Monday with a 60 points to 30 demolition of the Rye House team. After the postponement caused by waterlogged tracks of two earlier meetings, it was a relief for the riders to finally get going, and they welcomed their long-suffering fans with a comprehensive display of their talents. None more so than Jacob Torsell, who was waylaid by quite a serious injury towards the end of last season, but it showed he's back to full fitness by winning every one of the heats in which he raced on Monday evening. Torsell was backed up by every one of his teammates, and racing with Kyle Howarth as his number two, the pair came first and second in four heats, while Rory Schlein was also successful. Wolves have the rest of this week off before another home fixture against the Poole Pirates next Monday, followed by a return match against Rye House in the middle of next week. On Sunday, the third of this year's Formula One races, the Chinese Grand Prix at Shanghai, took place only a week after the previous event at Abu Dhabi, and brought a welcome change from the usual Mercedes versus Ferrari circus. This time the winner was the Red Bull team and the car driven by Daniel Ricciardo, who sounds Italian but is in fact an Australian. The races so far this year all seem to have been a bit chaotic, and this one was no exception. But for the independent spectator, it's making for a more exciting, less one-sided competition, with Red Bull at this early stage invading the space those top two teams have come to regard as their own. The two Ferraris had led the starting grid, but soon Vettel was left to carry the flag for them, while Bottas was the main man for Mercedes, while Lewis Hamilton was left behind by the leaders. As the race wore on, the two Red Bull cars, driven by Verstappen and Ricciardo, seemed to offer the greatest challenge, but the former became overexcited, and in a rash overtaking move he nearly ended Vettel's race. The German driver managed to continue, but down the field, and Verstappen's incautious attempt to pass opened the door for his teammate, who surged through the field with several daring, but in his case well-executed, overtaking moves. Ricciardo powered to the finish line with Bottas a few seconds behind, Raikkonen's Ferrari third, and Hamilton fourth. A disappointed Vettel, who afterwards received a fulsome apology from Verstappen, could only manage eighth place. But, as I say, that's made for a close and interesting drivers' championship in these early days. Now it's off to Azerbaijan for the next race, weekend after next. And just to finish this week's sports news, in tennis, the current British number one, Kyle Edmund, reached his first ATP Tour final last week, but lapsed to a 6-2, 6-2 defeat at the hands of the Spaniard Andujar in Marrakesh. However, Edmund is up to 23 in the world rankings. This week also, Dan Evans from Birmingham returns to the circuit after his 12-month suspension for a drug offence. Andy Murray's long-delayed return to action is expected in the next few days. Cricket season's also started. I hope to bring you news of that next time. But that's all from me this week, so it's goodbye from Brian Gall.